Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Are you the only one?
I think so. I just heard music.
Well, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my computer froze up, so I'm restarting. Just about ready to open up the pages. It's telling me I have no internet. The internet is telling me I have internet. So, welcome to my world.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there before, huh?
Yes. In fact, I had them at my house today trying to fix mine. The internet is now connected. Okay.
Very slow and loading. Pasuk 177, finally. I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabri Chu Ishkin Tevit Kilu Erchimu Ud Kilu Ud Kilu Erchimu. Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononeh aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononehu. Mena alam micho shafat te'icha bar im achshav. Kuil malei zuchuda avahan itanash taman dikti vayisak. Yehoshaphat ukein ishtezev dikti vayis vayisitem Elohim mimenu. The translation. How do we know this? We know this from Yehoshaphat, who associated with Ahab, and had it not been for the merit of his ancestors, Yehoshaphat would have been punished because of Ahab, as it is written. But Yehoshaphat cried out. Then he was saved, as it is written, and Elohim moved them to depart from him. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. It's important to know the story of Yehoshaphat. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm wondering about the sentence, and had it not been the merit of his ancestors, our ancestors, the patriarch, our ancestors, members of his own family, the righteous.
Well, the ancestors is speaking about his forefathers. So it's speaking about the patriarchs, but it's also speaking about his more direct ancestors. I'm really not familiar with the story of Yehoshaphat. I am familiar with the story of Ahab.
I know, me too. The reason I thought, you know, but said the merit of his ancestors, it just makes me wonder if our mitzvot, and if we've gained merit, would it be a blessing for our descendants down the way, further line in time?
Well, there's many ways to understand the ancestors, because you could understand it your immediate parents, or you could understand it as your previous incarnation.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
And you can't understand it within the context of the children of Israel in total. Where is your hierarchy within that level? Or another way of saying it is, what is your source of the soul within Adam? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
I realize it's Thursday. I'm trying to open up my computer is frustrating me today. Trying to open up the Mechon Ram Mamre. And all I'm getting is frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking we would read the that particular part of the Second Chronicles, chapter 18.
Oh, that's what Devray Hayami is, Second Chronicles.
Yeah, Second Devray is Chronicles.
Okay, I wasn't, I didn't know that anyway. Good to know.
Yeah,
I do remember the name Yahweh, I just don't remember how he played in the story. But it'll be interesting because most of those characters relate to characters in today's world, from Ahab and Jezebel and Yehu, and I forgot which one matches Obama. But so it'll be interesting because I've wondered if maybe Nancy Pelosi fit it in the story somewhere. So.
Well, they're always there. Here's the saying in the. So let's. I finally got the Chronicles open, but I got to find the Second Chronicles 18. What verse is it?
31. Chapter 18, verse 31.
Okay. Okay, and it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they turned about to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and Hashem helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. Let's read a few other verses. Okay, starting with verse 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. So we know that Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and we're dealing in the frame where we have the two countries. We have Israel, or the Ephraim, and we have Judah. So Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you should put on thy robes, my robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into the battle. So Jehoshaphat was trying to disguise himself as being the king of Israel, not the king of Ephraim. So you don't get confused. Verse 30, now the king of Aram had commanded the captains of his chariots, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel." So his battle, his argument was with the king of Israel, who has fooled Jehoshaphat to pretend that he's the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said he was the king of Israel. But he cried out to Hashem, and Hashem helped him, and he moved the captains of Aram to depart from him. And then it explains in chapter 32, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, but they turned back from pursuing him. And then the king of Israel was killed by another man in verse 33.
I wonder, was that Jeroboam?
Yes. No, I think it was Ahab.
Okay.
That's one of the wonderful aspects of the book of Chronicles. You really have to be intimate with the book of Prophets to follow the same characters, because the book of Chronicles is more of a history, and it fills in about a lot of the missing gaps. But when you read the book of Chronicles by itself, it's confusing because you have to relate it back to the verses in the book of Prophets.
And I find that sometimes it gives you names of other names of characters.
Yes, and then you have to depend on the commentaries to explain why they're the same people.
Right. I remember I started off by trying to make families out of some of them, you know. Of who was kin to who, because they'd have a different name.
Right. But going back to the book of, to the Zohar in Lech Lecha, section 20. Rereading the translation, how do we know this? And that's referring to the previous pasuk in the Zohar.
Mm-hmm.
We know this from Jehoshaphat, who was associated with Ahab. And had it not been for the merit of his ancestors, which would be in King David and King Shlomo, and the other kings of Judah up to his time, that's what he would be referring to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can see that now. Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, if we have a full picture from the Ari's writings, what is the line of souls leading up to Jehoshaphat? You know, what aspect of the, you know, Shlomo and King David does Jehoshaphat come to fix?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for the delay in picking it all up.
That was okay. While you were doing that, I was reading, or not really reading, just skimming 178, just to see if Jehoshaphat was mentioned in the next verse. He gives us some clues, but I don't see it. But that's not really reading it word by word. It was just looking for his name.
And I'm looking back to 176, just to, because it's talking about Lot. It's really the question that it starts out. 177 starts out with the question, how do we know this? And what it's referring to is the idol worship of Lot. But it's also, you know, explaining the spiritual law of the people that you accompany with, the people who are part of your circle of community. They impact how you're going to see the world. So let's see if we can... Well, we don't really have time to do the next verse, 178, unless you want to start it, see what happens.
Well, why don't we wait till tomorrow? Possibly the others will be on.
Okay. Well, tomorrow is actually Monday.
Monday, then.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. We might want to with the, when the others come on, we might want to do 177 over.
Right. We'll review that a little bit. Okay.
All right. And we will have a Zohar class tonight.
Okay, let me just ask you this concerning today's lesson. Is it really telling us that a Lot joined with Abraham as if he was turning away from an idolatry just like Abraham had, but then he reverted back, or does it to tell us he never was out of idolatry? I haven't quite gotten that.
Well,
straight in my mind.
You know, elsewhere, we haven't read it yet in our deep study, but elsewhere the Zohar is telling us that Lot represents the evil inclination of the soul, and Avram represents the soul, the male soul, or the soul generally, before the correction. Avram represents the soul before it comes into the physical world. Abraham represents the soul when it comes into the physical world. Lot represents the evil inclination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that understanding, your question becomes clear. The answer to your question becomes clear, because Lot, the evil inclination will support the good inclination, which is the soul itself, when the soul resists the temptation that the evil inclination puts in front of it. So the evil inclination always is an idol worshiper. It's always, that's its essence. It's always part of the negative system. But it will pretend to be connected to the good inclination, because that's the spiritual law that the two follow. If the person falls to the entreaties of the evil inclination and does a negative action, then the good inclination supports the evil inclination until the next decision point. But if the person resists that temptation, then the evil inclination supports the good inclination until the next decision point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if you don't have that understanding from the Zohar of what does Lot represent, you can never be sure, because the Torah is not clear in saying, you know, all we know about Lot is that he was the son of Tor. But then when Abraham goes and fights with the five kings who defeated the four kings, or I think it's the four kings defeated the five kings and kidnapped Lot because they thought he was Abraham. Why does Abraham go to rescue Lot? They separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the necessity to go rescue Lot? And it's because the soul must always have the two inclinations. You can never rid yourself of the evil inclination as long as you're in a physical body. You can distance yourself, you can separate yourself, which is what the story of Lot moving to Sodom and Gomorrah is about. But you can't allow that your evil inclination to be killed. But you need the evil inclination to achieve your tikkun.
Mm-hmm. I always felt too that with patriarchs mostly being shepherds, herdsmen, you know,
right.
They kind of have the same feeling as animals and people. So the herdsman is going to go after the lamb that's ventured away,
right,
you know, to try to rescue him.
You protect the person who's moved away from God. You strive and bring them back.
Right. And I think that's the midrash that we have from finding Machpelah.
Correct.
I'm glad I asked the question. That was great.
Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
You have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you. I'll do my best to be on tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
So long.